my weapons. Through them, my thoughts vibrate around your synapses. They infiltrate your mind. They invade your soul. You are the victim of my speech, a casualty of my dangerous talk.
Welcome, talkers. This is Dangerous Talk. I am your host, Stax. Today was the State of the Union Address. Fortunately, it was President George W. Bush's last State of the Union Address. But I took some notes, and I'd like to go through it a little bit. Now, I will say this right from the start. President Bush broke from the usual convention of right away telling us the State of the Union. Instead, the president kept us in suspense until the end of the speech to tell us the State of the Union. So I guess I'll keep you in suspense as well. Starting off, I would like to make a comment that in case, just in case, there happened to have been a terrorist attack on the Capitol building tonight, and the president, vice president, speaker of the House, the entire Senate, the entire Congress, and all of our Supreme Court justices were wiped off the face of the planet, you shouldn't be worried, because the Secretary of Interior was standing by in an undisclosed location, ready to take full and complete control of our government. I always wondered about that. The State of the Union is such a potential terrorist target. It's just, I understand the security must be super heavy, but I would think that that would make a really tempting target for terrorists. And I would think that in our modern era of internet and global communications, that maybe it might not be a good idea to put every single one of our country's leaders in one spot. Oh, except, of course, the Secretary of Interior. I kind of think that we can kind of video conference these kinds of things today. You know, maybe a couple senators be set aside to maybe sit out. Maybe some of our Supreme Court justices would have to sit out. Maybe our vice president doesn't have to actually be sitting right behind the president. Maybe he could be sitting somewhere else, like far away in an undisclosed bunker. I'm just putting that out there. Because the idea of the Secretary of Interior being the new dictator of America doesn't really appeal to me. Kind of reminds me of Battlestar Galactica, the new Battlestar Galactica, when the entire government of the colonies was wiped away except for the Secretary of Education, who became the president. It's kind of like that, except the Secretary of Interior is even lower on the totem pole. It's kind of funny. All right. Well, anyway, the overall theme of the president's State of the Union address is trusting people. And he makes a pretty big appeal to that at the end of his speech, and I'll get to that. But he talks about trusting people with their own money. And this is a common, I guess, what do they call that, talking point of the religious right and of the fiscal conservatives as well, the Republican Party. Trusting people with their own money. But meanwhile, what they don't realize is that the people it's not an issue of trust. All right. The fact is, for the record, a lot of Americans are so far in debt it's not even funny. So not all people can be trusted with their money. That's why we have safety nets to support people who aren't really trustworthy with their money, so that we can assist them to mount back and teach them how to be more trustful with their money. But the president doesn't want to hear that, and neither do the Republicans. They just trust people with their money, you know. And how are we going to trust people with their money to create roads? You know, there are certain things that are that the people can't do. It's not a matter of trust. It's a matter of it's just simply we can't do it. An individual cannot do certain things. That's why we have government to help set up these things, so that the people can collectively pool their money to get things done. But that's a whole nother thing. The president starts off with the whole money issue, and he talks about tax relief. Now he's trying to pass this tax relief bill, which would give, I think it's $800 per person back at tax time. And this bill is currently in the Senate or House, I guess. I think it's in the House. And he and Pelosi have worked out this deal. And don't get me started on her, but we'll get there. So they worked out this deal, and he appealed to the Congress not to load up this bill with earmarks or other extra spending. And he said that would be unacceptable. He wants to get it passed quickly. I guess he feels that this will make constituents happy. You know, we'll get $800. And don't get me wrong, I would love to have $800. But that's not going to be an economic stimulus package, I'm sorry to say. But I'll tell you what I'm going to do with my $800. I'm probably going to put it towards bills. I might donate a little bit of it to charity, probably the ACLU, because I think that would really piss off Bush. So that's why I might do that. But for the most part, it's going towards bills. You know, credit and debt. Like I was saying, people can't be trusted with our money, not because it's not because the people aren't trustworthy, but because we allow corporations to take advantage of unsuspecting people. For instance, I was listening to another talk radio show earlier today, and they had someone who wrote a book on debt, and they were saying how the credit card companies have created this economy of debt in which people are dependent upon credit cards, and that less than 5% of the American people actually save money for a rainy day. Most use their credit card as their savings. You know, if a problem occurs with their car breaks down, they don't pay for it with cash. They pay for those repairs through credit. And the credit card system has become the plague on this nation and on the people. And because Bush trusts the people so much that he actually, it's not really trusting the people, he's given too much power to the credit card companies. The credit card companies have been able to manipulate the people, and we're all affected. I wish I could say I'm immune, but I'm not. Even I fell into the credit card trap. Everybody has a credit card, and everybody's in credit card debt to some extent. Not everybody. I mean, most people are in credit card debt to some extent. And it just, it's a plague on our society, and it's this idea, which we'll just trust the people, and we'll allow industry to take advantage of everybody. And it makes you feel good that the president wants to trust you, but on the other hand, you know, a lot of us aren't really equipped to deal with the realities of credit card companies and these major corporations, the media corporations, for instance, right now in the election cycle, candidates have been pushed out of the running simply because the media decided not to cover them. And I mean, there's manipulation going on all around us, and we're all being subjected to it. But the president says he trusts us, so we all feel good. The president then goes on to insinuate that Congress wants your money. And he says the IRS accepts checks and money orders. And Congress wants your money. They want to tax you. He wants to make the tax reliefs permanent. And that sounds great, you know, tax relief. However, he failed to mention who is being relieved. And the answer is the very rich. So these tax reliefs, they don't affect most people. I think you have to make over $250,000 a year to get even some of these tax reliefs that he wants to make permanent. And then This is the funny part here. The president says he is going to veto all bills that require him to raise taxes. Now, after 7 years of being our president, he suddenly decided to veto spending. I think that's funny. He says he wants to spend tax money wisely. Funny, because when he took office, we had a budget surplus, and now we have a budget deficit. George W. Bush has increased the size of government more than any president in the history of this nation, and put us so far deep in debt, it's not even funny. And yet now, after 7 years, he's decided he wants to spend tax money wisely. That's just a joke. I can't believe it. And then he goes, people balance their budgets. Government should balance our budget. Guess what, Mr. President? Clinton balanced the budget. You unbalanced it. I think it's funny that he is trying to actually get away with this. That because he doesn't want spending in some areas, like he doesn't want any social spending. He doesn't want any money that's going to go back towards the people. He wants instead to not raise taxes and all this stuff. But the thing is, some of these taxes, and I agree we shouldn't raise taxes, but some of the money that goes to taxes should be paying for the infrastructure that I was talking about. And those are the things that the president doesn't want to fund. Instead, he wants to fund Blackwater. He wants to fund this ridiculous war in Iraq that puts us so far in debt it's not even funny. I mean, he wants to fund these ridiculous things, but he doesn't want to fund money for Social Security. He doesn't want to fund money for universal health care. He doesn't want to fund these things. Things that will actually help people. So, I don't know. Now, this is something that I think is noteworthy. The president said tomorrow, meaning Tuesday, all federal agencies will be given the order to ignore any earmarks that go their way unless they are voted on by the full Congress. That, I think, is interesting. I think that's telling. It's very interesting. I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing necessarily, because I think if it went up into Congress, most earmarks would pass, except maybe the Bridge to Nowhere, which was a Republican earmark. I think, in general, most of those earmarks would pass, but then he's thinking, well, he's going to veto it. However, the president hasn't been so successful on vetoing earmark spending. The one thing about earmarks is both Democrats and Republicans are guilty of it. Every congressperson and senator wants to send money back to projects in their home states. It's how they get reelected. So the president is kind of attacking both parties here. And it's interesting why. Earmarks do cost money, certainly. But they're nothing compared to the amount of money that's being spent in this war in Iraq. So, I don't know. I think he wants to cut costs in one area that is, like, really little. This is what it's like. It's like saving money on saving 50 cents on sandwich bags so that you can spend an extra $50 on a fancy dinner. You know, it seems like one cost doesn't really justify the cost of the other. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. Then he moves on. The president goes on to education, his greatest subject. And he says that no one can deny the results of No Child Left Behind. That's right. No one can deny that we have left every child behind. He talks about test scores being up. But the problem is that while test scores are up, learning is down a lot. Because we're teaching the answers to the test, but we're not teaching the knowledge of what those answers mean. So No Child Left Behind is a complete and utter failure, and all you have to do is ask anyone in the education industry, and they'll tell you that. So that's just a mistake. And then the president talks about, you know, charter schools for poor children. And he mentions this, which I find interesting. Something about faith-based public schools. That's troubling to me, because now you're not just talking about vouchers for private schools. You're talking about church public schools. That is something that I think a lot of people might have missed. And it concerns me deeply. It should concern us all deeply. But moving on, because there's so much more of this speech to go and I'm running out of time already. he talks about trusting American workers to compete with other workers around the world. That sounds good. All about the trusting people. I love this president when he speaks like that. However, he also stacks the deck against the worker. So I don't really see how trusting the worker takes away from the fact that he stacked the deck against them. He must trust them an awful lot to tie both their hands behind their backs and shackle their legs together and still expect them to do the same work that other people do all around the world. That's retarded. And he wants to do more, even more, trade agreements with third world nations. And the thing is, with these trade agreements with these third world nations, they get to make crap that is substandard and cheap and falling apart with labor that gets paid like $2 an hour, and then they get to ship that labor up to those products up to the U.S. It gets imported to the U.S. Meanwhile, jobs are outsourced and all these things, and we get substandard goods here in America. The substandard goods from China has been in the news lately, especially around Christmas time when we had lead poisoned toys, and it's just unbelievable the amount of hypocrisy here. But the president goes further. He says, if we don't have a trade agreement with third world nations like Colombia, then we're supporting dictators. That, when you say things like that, that's just, it's the fear tactics that we're used to with this president. And it's exploiting workers and is literally tying our workforce up and expecting them to do what these workers do. It's a prelude to outsourcing more jobs. But he trusts the workers, so we all feel good. Because he trusts you. Trusts you to do three times the amount of work for half the pay. And half the time. So, yeah, he trusts you. There we go. We got it. Then he moves on to energy. And he wants to trust the entrepreneurs and the inventors. Meanwhile, big energy contractors, especially oil industry, has such a monopoly on energy that the entrepreneurs and investors and inventors can't do anything to even come close to it. We can come up with the best new fuel sources in the world, and it would never get developed because the oil industry would suppress it. And, I mean, there's that movie, which I haven't seen, by the way, but I've heard a lot about, is something about the electric car, of who killed the electric car or something like that. Well, anyway, my point is basically that we could have had electric cars 50 years ago or more, and we don't because of big oil companies. We have hybrid cars now, and even that was tough to get through. We can have new cars, but, don't use oil, but the money to invest in that stuff is slim. The oil companies don't want to do it. They're not funding it. Car companies are starting to a little bit at a necessity, but it's not nearly. But whatever happened to the president in one of his State of the Union addresses, he talked about a hydrogen car. What happened to that plan? I knew it was crap when he talked about it, and I think I said so. Then he moves on, speaking of energy, to slowing down or even stopping greenhouse gases and confronting global climate change. That I thought was interesting because most of the Republicans don't even believe global climate change is occurring. So there he's clearly taking a stand here. And now I know, you know, Rush Limbaugh will come on the air tomorrow and be like, oh, you know, he just had to say that, you know, for the libs. He just had to say it for the libs, you know how it is. You know, but clearly he's saying it's an issue and needs to be addressed. And here again, the president wants to trust. He wants to trust scientists and engineers. However, at every turn, he tries to stop them. He puts up brick walls, not allowing them to do their job, continually saying, oh, there's no climate change, there's no problem, the science is inconclusive. You know, and it's just crazy. The hypocrisy of this trust issue of his, and he continues this trust issue, goes trust in the medical researchers, and trust that they will also respect moral boundaries, which basically is code for stem cell research, which he addresses again. Goes in November, scientists report, you know, that they've switched some sort of skin cells to stem cells. That the science of that is inconclusive, and most scientists seem to think that that plan isn't really a viable option. But the president ignores that, ignores the scientific community, even though he says he wants to trust them. Instead, he goes with these creationist scientists who make up these reports and, you know, whatever. And then he wants to back that up. No cloning. Ban on cloning. Cloning is good science. I don't see what the problem with cloning is, except that if you clone someone, and that someone lives and breathes and has a normal life, puts the Christians in a little bit of a tizzy, because where did the clone's soul come from? Did you clone their soul? Did God give you a new soul? How does that work exactly? Or maybe we just don't have a soul, and that's how cloning has nothing to do with souls. But no, you can't have that. No cloning. Then he talks more about faith-based groups, especially he wants to make permanent the charitable choice, which gives federal funding to churches to do allegedly good work, although basically it amounts to missionary work. And, you know, a lot of these churches, the Free Thought Society of Greater Philadelphia has documented a couple cases where they rejected people from services because of their religious faith or lack of religious faith, where they subjected them to religious indoctrination before they got their services. So, you know, there's all kinds of stories of that. But moving on, because I'm trying to get as much of the speech done, and holy crap, it was longer than I expected. Social Security and Medicare entitlements. President talks about, he didn't say the word gutting, but he basically meant it. He wants to gut those things. You know, no more money for that, or at least a lot less money for that until we can phase it out completely. That's kind of the president's plan. Immigration. This is what I love, because the president's on a narrow line. He's on the border, if you will, on the immigration, because he disagrees with the Republican Party on this. Agrees more with the Dems, but he can't say that, at least initially. So we talked about securing the borders, building fences, hiring more agents to patrol the borders, all these things, but which are crazy, and I'd say if you're going to go for all this shit, you might as well go for building up a dome and covering the whole country. Why just cover one border? Like, the terrorists aren't going to try and get in from Canada or from Florida, you know? Build the dome and get it over with. That's what I say. In any case, I'm, of course, being sarcastic. Then he says something that I do agree with. He wants to give a lawful way to come to America for immigrants. And I agree with that. And that's something that I've been saying, that we should expand the quota system. And it seems like I agree with the president on that. And the other thing he said is that we must come up with a way to honor both our laws and our highest ideals. And I agree with him on that, but I think that we can change our laws to fit our highest ideals. And I hope that he will, in this year to come, maybe push to do that. I don't think he will, but you never know, because he's basically a lame duck. He may do what he feels is right for a change, which might actually maybe even be right for a change. But anyway, he talks more about trust people and, gets into terrorism. I'm jumping ahead here. He talks about the one subject he talks the most about, terrorism. We must trust the people to choose freedom in Iraq. And it's funny because, you know, again, with this trusting people, but now the people he wants to trust are the terrorists. As if we gave them the freedom to choose whatever government they wanted, they wouldn't choose religious extremism. Or choose a religiously based government. A theocracy. That's what they would choose. But we don't like that choice. So we don't allow them to have that freedom to choose that one. Because that choice is not a good one. We would have been better with Saddam Hussein than allow them to have a theocracy. So the freedom is not quite there. And then, of course, the president goes into 9/11. 9/11. 9/11. Evil men who despise freedom and despise America. 9/11. Here the president says some interesting things that really are scary. And I'm going to quote him exactly here. We will deliver justice to our enemies, spreading the hope of freedom. Now let's examine those two quotes right there, just for a moment. You don't deliver justice. Justice isn't something that's delivered. What the president means there is we will exact revenge on our enemies in blood. That's not justice. I don't think the president understands what justice is. Because you don't deliver justice that way. Justice is a long process. A process of investigation, of inquiring to the truth of matters, to finding out who, the guilt and innocence of who's on trial. The president doesn't want to do that. He just wants blood. Now, I'm not a 9/11 truther, but I understand, at least, that even though I think 9/11 truthers are a little out there, that they are closer to delivering justice, in a sense, because they want to reopen the investigation. Now, my problem is they've already jumped to a conclusion that the president did it, which is a ridiculous conclusion to reach, given the motives and what would be necessary to carry that out. But that's a whole other thing. I'm not getting into 9/11 truth right now. My point is that would at least be a start, is having a real investigation into terrorism in general. You know, why are these people terrorizing us? You know, now, we could say it's because they're religious extremists, and that's partially what it has to do with, but it's not entirely. Part of this is political, and we have a lot to answer for in that spectrum. So we need to do two things. We need to compromise and deal with the political wrongs that we have done in the Middle East, and then deal with the religious issues. And the way we deal with the religious issues are the way I'm dealing with the religious issues here. By showing that the Christian God and in the Judeo-Christian Islamic God, God of Abraham, is a false God. And by making that argument, we undermine the religious extremists, both here and abroad. And that's really what we have to do. But, alright, we still got some stuff to go through. The president wants to add 3,200 Marines to Afghanistan to deliver justice to our enemies. Spread the hope of freedom. Sounds all nice and swell. 3,200. That's more Marines than have died in the World Trade Center. Incidentally, by the way, the death count in the war in Iraq is up to 4,000, which is higher than the death count at the World Trade Center. So we lost more lives dealing with the aftermath of the World Trade Center than we did at the actual World Trade Center, which is kind of interesting. Just thought I'd throw that out there. He talks about terrorists and extremists are denying their people liberty. Another BS line of his. The Iraqis have a surge of their own that's joined with us in our surge to fight the terrorists and extremists who are denying the people liberty. Such colorful language our president uses. Like, these words mean nothing to him. They're just like catchphrases. It's really sick. Al-Qaeda is on the run in Iraq. Al-Qaeda is a terrorist group. They're on the run everywhere. Not that they're running away, but that's what terrorists do. They hit and they run. They hit, they run. That's the idea of terrorism. President's crazy. Then he delivers a speech directly to the armed forces. All of you need to protect our nation. You know, all of you are protecting our nation. And he wants Congress to fully fund our troops. I agree, fully fund our troops. However, what the president really means is fully fund Blackwater. See, that's the whole thing. A lot of our war spending for the military doesn't go to our troops. It doesn't go towards body armor. It goes to Blackwater. It goes to Halliburton. It goes to those places. It doesn't go to our troops. They're not getting paid more money. They're not getting extra services. They're getting screwed. They get an arm blown off, they're getting screwed. It's just unreal the amount of screwed that our military is getting. You know, substandard armor, you know, all kinds of stuff. It's crazy. But Blackwater gets state of the art. Blackwater soldiers get paid so much more than our soldiers get paid. And guess who's paying them? We are. Same money. It's just we're paying a lot more for Blackwater troops. So it's just nuts. And I think we kicked Blackwater out of Iraq. But you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if we're still funding them. Wouldn't surprise me at all. Now this is something. The president says something here that surprised me. And I'm a little surprised by it. Because it doesn't fit his current game plan here. He says that 20,000 troops are coming home. And that more troops may come home later on if the generals see that as a viable option. Here he's actually calling for withdrawal. A slow, but withdrawal. Which is odd because the president has never been for a withdrawal before. I know he's putting 3,200 more Marines in Afghanistan, but 20,000 troops coming home from Iraq. That's a lot of troops. Now, I don't know if those numbers are even make sense, but that's a lot of troops to bring home. So I commend the president on that. Unfortunately, right after he said that, he went into more warmongering about how we have to bring justice to our enemies. Whatever. Now he's trying to set his legacy. So he says he wants to form a Palestinian state by the end of the year. Palestinian state by the end of the year. Now, at first, I thought that was a good thing. Palestinian state. But now I'm thinking that's probably not the best way of doing it. I'm not, you know, I put a blog up on the MySpace a while back on this, like a couple weeks ago. And, I don't know if a separate Palestinian state is the answer. I think a better answer would be trying to form one state with Israel, the Palestinian and Israeli people occupying the same land in a joint effort and trying to work that out peacefully so that they have equal power, not one having their own land and another having their own land. That sets up just another Cold War scenario. I don't think that solves the problem. It's just going to further alienate these two people and cause more animosity. I think getting them to work together and integrating them would probably be a better plan towards peace. So while I once agreed with this idea of a Palestinian state, now I'm not so sure. So I'm going to disagree with the president on that. And I know he's trying to have that, you know, one small step for man kind of speech with that. You know, like, before this decade is out, we will put a man on the moon and return him safely to the earth. Before this year is out, we will create a Palestinian state, and I will be heralded as the peace, the president of peace. But no, I don't think so. He talks more about Iran being the enemy. He focuses on Iran, the next war. You know, and he talks about how we're not at war with Iran. The people of Iran aren't our enemy, just their government. We're building weapons of mass destruction right now, even though all reports say that they're not even close to doing that. But hey, you know, the president lied again. And that, I think he's going to be called on the carpet on this one. I do. Then he says we should be grateful that there are no new that there have been no new attacks on the U.S. since 9/11. And he uses that as an excuse to say that he didn't say the warrantless wiretapping, but he said, you know, the ability to eavesdrop on our enemies, that bill is being expired February 1st, and he hoped that the Congress would re-up it. And I think, and I haven't done the research on this, but I think he's referring to warrantless wiretapping, but I'll have to check into that. In which case, I don't think the President, Congress, should be able to eavesdrop on our enemies or us. That's what freedom is all about. But anyway, that's a whole nother story. Get to that down the road. Now it talks about a couple of, you know, things he has to throw in there. America opposes genocide in the Sudan. That's good. I'm surprised he took on that issue, but I guess he had to mention it. He wants to fight AIDS. That's good. Except that he doesn't want to fight it using things that might actually work. You know, like condoms to Africa. No, that can't do that. Abstinence-only education. Sorry. Which isn't going to work, and that's not what they need. They need condoms. They need sex education, comprehensive sex education. But no, the president won't do that. Nope. Not going to happen. Not going to do it. Oh, I'm sorry, that's his father. Transfer. Oh, now this is something I thought was interesting. This I approve. This one thing that he says. This is, I think, the second thing the president said that I approve. Well, maybe a couple other things. But here he says he wants the ability to transfer unused educational benefits from our military soldiers to their spouses and their children. And I think that's a good plan. I don't see any reason why that's not. It seems to me like soldiers are putting time in to get educational tuition money, and if they can't use it because, you know, whatever factor may be in place, that they can transfer that to their spouse or their children. And I approve of that. I think that's a good idea. So I don't see any problem with passing that, except maybe from the Republicans, surprisingly. He talks more about trusting the people. And this is his closing. And I'm glad I got to this because this is interesting. He talks about the Articles of Confederation, which most people don't even know about, and I'm surprised even the president knows about. Obviously, the speechwriter did. And how the Articles of Confederation started off with talking about, you know, this is dependent on the delegates of the states, you know, are honored mount to by the Confederation. And how he said that the Constitution changed that writing to, instead of dealing with the delegates, to dealing with we the people. And he said because he thought the founders of a country, you know, trusted people. And so that fits into his whole thing with trusting people. And I thought that was an interesting switch to kind of move into. And with that said, he gave us the opening at the end. For all you who are wondering what the State of the Union is, the State of the Union will remain strong, implying that it currently is strong. That is kind of ridiculously stupid, because America right now is facing economic disaster. He talked a little bit earlier in his speech towards the beginning about the, you know, the mortgage issues facing America. And, you know, I think that plays a large part of the weakness of this nation, is our dependence on credit, for one, which I talked about earlier. The mortgage collapse, the stock market crash that we had a week ago. I think we're going into recession. Every expert seems to think so. It seems to be pretty evident around that we are headed into a recession if we're not already there. We're spending so much money on this war in Iraq, and we're getting so little out of it. We're not making peace. We're not delivering justice. We're just wasting people's lives, and we're wasting billions of dollars, and we're just in a quagmire, and we need to get out. And the problem is, we can't get out, in one sense, because if we got out, then the place would become a hotbed of terrorist activity and extreme, you know, and I get that. But we can't stay, because staying gives them an easy recruitment tool. So we kind of have to get out. We kind of have to allow it to become a festering bed of terrorism for now, and try to deal with the issue, or try to deal with it on a diplomatic issue. Try and figure out some other way to approach this war. Now, personally, I think the best way to approach this war is to go after the religion itself, Islam. But we can't go after Islam as a religion unless we go after the entire Abrahamic belief structure of Judaism and Christianity. And I don't think people can stomach that. I don't think the American people are going to be able to stomach that. I wish they could, but I don't think they will. So I don't know what we can do about that. But yeah, it's pretty clear that the state of this union is not strong, and that it won't remain strong, because it's not strong. And, you know, I don't... Now, I was thinking a lot about where this leads us to the future. And we have a presidential election coming up. You know, Super Tuesday is coming up. And obviously, there are two main Democrats left in the race. The other two Democratic candidates are pretty much out of it. And Gravel has been out of it for a while. And, I mean, he's still in the race, but, you know, he's pretty much... law, you know, not going to win. And Edwards is the same way. Unfortunately, my support towards Kucinich, Kucinich is left. Kucinich is fighting a tough race to keep his congressional seat, and I'm pushing for him. So please donate to his re-election campaign. But now I have the choice of who do I endorse, Clinton or Obama. And I'm not really a fan of either. But I'll be honest, I posted a blog on this earlier in the week, last week, and it's something I've been thinking about. And I'm not ready to make an endorsement yet, but I will say this, that I'm really not liking Obama, which leads me inevitably towards Clinton. But it's not because I like Clinton better. It's because I'm not liking Obama. Obama is really making me depressed, because he's talking a lot about faith. He's not really talking about issues. He talks about bringing people together, when right now there's a time to bring people together. Normally, I'm all about compromise and bringing people together, but not this time. This time, this place in our history, bring compromise with Republicans is not the option. I'm sorry, but they're not going to compromise. So any compromise that Obama's going to broker is just going to be doing what they tell him to do. Compromise becomes surrender. And I'm not prepared to do that. At this point, I want a Democrat who's going to say, screw the compromise. It's our way or the highway. We got the power right now, and we have to exercise it. Because, you know, the alternative is just to surrender the Republicans. We got to play a game of chicken at this point. And I don't think Obama can do that. And I don't think he wants to do that. And I worry about him when he says, you know, he's going to support the homegrown terrorism bill. That scares me. I don't like his generalizations. You know, I certainly don't like Oprah calling him the one. So, I'm really not liking Obama. And if you're an Obama supporter, please email the show, dangeroustalk@gmail.com, and tell me why I should support him, because he seems too faith-based for me. I'm not liking him. The thing is, on his website, on issues, he doesn't have stem cell research or science or global warming. He doesn't even have the issue of pro-choice. But he does have faith. Faith is an issue for him. And that's very telling, that reason isn't an issue, but faith is. I'm really not liking him. And because of that, I'm inevitably pulled slightly towards Hillary. And I'm not a fan of her either, but, you know, she comes with Bill. He's a competent leader. She seemed quick on her feet in the debates. I'm okay with that. I wrote a whole blog on it, but I don't know. You know, I wish Kucinich was still in the race. I know he was still a long shot, but at least, you know, he gave me hope. I don't think Obama does. I'm not drinking the Obama Kool-Aid, basically. So I don't know. And then on the Republican side, of course, there's only one Republican I'm pushing for, and that would be John McCain. And don't get me wrong, I'm not going to vote for him. But I hope he wins the Republican nomination, because if he did become president, it wouldn't be the end of the world. He's the best Republican I could hope for as president. Not to say he's perfect. I certainly wouldn't support him, but if he was president, I'd be okay. As opposed to, say, Mike Huckabee, who wants to rewrite the Constitution to better fit the Bible. That I would not be okay with. If Huckabee was the Republican nominee, I would vote for anyone the Democrats put up. And I'm not the type of person, this is anyone but, who votes for the lesser of two evils. I'm not that type of person. But if Huckabee was the candidate, I gotta tell you, I would. But yeah, we're going into Super Tuesday. We're on fire. Anything can happen. Obama's taking an early lead because of South Carolina, but anything can happen. It's exciting. We'll know soon. Oh, well. That's about it. The State of the Union. State of the Union. Well, let me quote Dennis Kucinich. State of the Union is a lie. There it is. That's the State of the Union. It's a lie. The president lied about war. He lied about all kinds of other stuff. He's a lying liar, liar. Pants on fire. Anyway, you can email the show at dangeroustalk@gmail.com. You can listen to the show on Dangerous Demand Podcast. You can also listen to the podcast through dangeroustalk.net, which is our main website, or through the MySpace page, myspace.com/dangeroustalk. I have several videos up on YouTube, youtube.com/dangeroustalk. Currently, I'm in a debate about free will. On YouTube, a couple of videos on that. If you want to jump into that, you can. Who knows what else I'll put up there. editorial columns on DangerousTalk.net. We got a bunch of them. I don't think I've changed them since the last show, so you can check those out. What's my current common sense one? I don't even remember. But we have a bunch of good columns up there. Check them out. We've got a great columnists working with us. We got a couple competitions and projects. We have the Most Dangerous Song Competition, the Most Dangerous Art Competition, the Halloween Forever Project, the Free Them for Freedom Project. You can check that out. That has some nudity photos on it, so you have to be over the age of 18 or your eyes will pop out of their sockets. We also have a regular photo gallery, which, aside from pictures from you, the listeners, holding Dangerous Talk signs or wearing Dangerous Talk shirts, we also have our three spokesmodels, Aaron, Jackie, and Sarah. And you can also check out our spokesmodels' pictures on the MySpace page in the photo album there, and you can leave comments there. Freethoughtforums.org, one of our friends over there. They do a chat every Sunday night at 9 p.m. I actually went in there for the first time in a long time this past Sunday and chatted with some of the people there. Good times. Check it out. They also have lots of news stuff and all kinds of other things. You can also comment on the show or anything in the Dangerous Talk Network on the Dangerous Talk forums hosted by our good friends at the Rational Response Squad. We also have t-shirts in the Dangerous Store, which you can buy, and all kinds of other stuff, too. I think we might have bumper stickers as well, some other cool stuff. Two other projects that we've been working on, the No Confidence Project. You can go to DangerousTalk.net, print out the No Confidence signs, and give your Congress people a call and let them know that if they don't actively support the impeachment of the Vice President and the President of the United States, that you will write in a vote of no confidence when they are up for re-election. And the other thing is the charity group we've started through Autism Speaks, and it's Atheists for Autism Research. I would like you to support that. You can donate to the show, Dangerous Talk, but I would prefer you donate instead to Atheists for Autism Research or to Dennis Kucinich's re-election campaign, or the Rational Response Squad, or someplace like that. But if you want to throw a couple of bucks my way, I would certainly appreciate it through the donation button on both DangerousTalk.net and the MySpace page. MySpace page, I want to remind everybody that I've been writing daily columns. Daily blog entries, which you can comment on and get into discussions in, and they're more designed for discussion. So please, you know, join that and take a look at some of the daily blogs on the MySpace page. We do have a Facebook page, but I be honest with you, I rarely go to it. But if you want to join us on Facebook, you can too. It's, of course, the Facebook and whatever the slash is, and Dangerous Talk. So check all those things out. That's about it for this show. The State of the Union show. For our president. Finally, it's his last one. I'm so glad to get rid of this guy. I have no idea. Any case, stay dangerous, be dangerous. See you next time.
I am a terrorist. Words are my tools, my weapons. Through them, my thoughts vibrate around your synapses. They infiltrate your mind. They invade your soul. You are the victim of my speech, a casualty of my dangerous talk.